All right, today we have a webcast for all three congregations, as you know. It is still the beginning of the calendar year, and I will take the time today to talk to all three congregations about our congregations. So in a way, you might call it a congregational review. And in doing so, in doing it, it's intended to be helpful so everybody can have a high-level view or understanding of our congregations, all of them, and maybe even of your own. Maybe there's things about the one you attend that will be helpful in seeing some of the things about the congregations. So we have a way we're going to do this, and that's that I have some slides that I'm going to show you, everybody, and the camera will be on the slides, and I can say about now. So for those that are not here in Northwest Indiana, you'll see slides, and that's fine. That's what you're supposed to do. And you won't see me for, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. So you'll hear my voice. I'll be talking to the slides. I'm going to show you some things, which I think will be helpful. And let me just see how I'm going to do this here. Well, I got the computer and my slides here. Let me just see how I can do this so I don't get off track. I think I'll leave everything as is and hope to turn the slides at the right time. Hope everybody home can do that. We might want to turn down the lights here for a moment. And I appreciate the folks here in Indiana to help get this going. I let them know on Thursday I was thinking about doing this, and they were very flexible and made it all work. And hopefully at home you'll be able to see the slides. So as I said, I have some slides. And I'm going to tell you what they are so you kind of know where we're going at. And I just kind of think it gives you an overview. I'm going to have some slides about the average attendance for the last 5 years, the breakdown of age of the congregations, and I'm going to show the map. I'm going to show a map of where everybody lives. And I'm going to look at, and first of all, let me just pause for a minute. You got to give credit where credit's due, right? So, Mr. William Hewitt has been doing, I don't know how long he's been doing this for, but he's doing it for quite a while, very diligent, and he updates these Excel files that starting to have all sorts of information on there. So I don't want to take all the credit for these things that you don't see in the sense of the way it's presented. Some of these I get from different places, but the maps and where everybody lives, that I certainly want to make sure that comes from a file that he keeps updated very diligently, so we appreciate that. And then I'm going to go to a slide that talks about, just what I call pastoral care. Pastoral care is taking place in the congregations, show all the things we're doing. And then I'd like to show some things that I'd like to add this year in doing that. So hope everyone, the goal is I hope this helps everyone have a fuller appreciation of the congregations, all of them. And after we do this, this should take about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit less. I want to provide a directional theme or focus for 2024, a directional theme for us to look at in 2024. So let me just turn to the first slide. All right. You should see that hopefully on the webcast. This is our, what I call average attendance for 5 years. Now, I don't know if you can see that well in the back there. Hopefully you can. All three congregations. Now, the very first thing you see is, on file. So that just means these are all the people that attend that we have on file that are officially sort of associated with the congregation. So it means the full number we have on file. And then to kind of help us understand the attendance, every congregation has a number of people that I wish we had a better name for this, but it's called shut-ins. These are people who, because of health or age or some other reasons, are on our files as members, and we maybe send them cards, we think about them or pray about them, but they're not able to come to church for different reasons. All right, here we have a 5-year attendance showing the trend. So let me just make some observations here. You can see it, if you can see the numbers well. In 2021 were the COVID years, and it really impacted the in-person attendance in all congregations. All three congregations had lower attendance in 2021. And just to help you understand what the numbers mean, if you see a slash, right, you see a number and then a slash, another number. Well, the first number is the in-person attendance number. And the second number is with the webcast the number of connections or people, how we calculate how many people are attending through the webcast. So now, I just want to highlight to you several things that are positive. In Chicago, Northwest Indiana, the attendance is certainly coming back after COVID. Very happy about that. And what's really sort of an interesting observation is in Northwest Indiana, it's actually now higher than it was pre-COVID. So that's a very encouraging trend. So I thought I'd mention that. All right. Keep on moving on here. Now, here is the average, let's do it this way. Average age per congregation. So no surprises here, I don't believe. In Beloit, are you surprised? I don't think so. The average age, you can see Beloit is, you know, they've got a much older, congregation. The average age is 68. In Chicago, it's 45. And in Northwest Indiana, it's 54. In Chicago, we have brought the average way down, thankfully, because we have 39, children that are 19 or under. So they bring the average down. So thank you very much for that. So, but that's just the age breakdown, which you might want to see. So these are all helpful, right? These are all helpful to know how to, do certain things with your congregations, how to serve, how to look at certain things. So I just want to share this with you so you see it all together and hope it's helpful. All right, let's go to some what I call additional data points. Just to show some things that's happened over the years. So I've broken this down. So this is for the year 2023, right? The full 12 months of January to the end of December 2023. So we've had baptisms in Chicago as well, three. We had one recently in Northwest Indiana, but that was actually in 2024. We've had some births in Chicago. Unfortunately, we have quite a few older people in all three congregations, which lends to people eventually dying, which is part of life at this phase. But we just want to show how that's impacting the congregations. And then we've had several people move away. In Beloit, we've had two people move out for different reasons. Chicago, we had someone move out. And then we had somebody move in. So, and then we've had some new people starting to attend. So both in Chicago and Northwest Indiana, we've had new people beginning to attend. Also very positive. All right. I just want to show you a few other things. The next slide, I could put all sorts of things here, but I just thought I'd show you some basic, just how certain things work out. All right. So, this is the deacons and elders. In Beloit, we have three deacons. Two of them are actually unable to attend because of age. And Chicago, we have five. One is unable to attend due to age. And then Northwest Indiana, we have one, Mr. Plum. So we're very happy to have one in Northwest Indiana, Mr. Plum. And we have two elders. I'm included in that. I just included myself in the elders. So we have two. And then we have very blessed, well, I'll say this, very, very blessed, to have a lot of good speakers. We have excellent speakers. And also all three, and the other thing I want to make a point out is all three congregations I would characterize as having very strong spiritual leadership and very mature congregations. Everybody's very strong. It's a mature congregation, and that gives credit to really the leadership that's been in place in all three congregations over maybe decades. And the members themselves, and I do talk to other pastors, and they have some challenges for different reasons, and I'll say we are very blessed. So I want to compliment the congregation. Keep growing, keep moving forward. We'll talk about that more. And I also always receive, it's very often I receive very positive comments on the wide range of speakers we have. So we have a lot of different styles, approaches, and the way people approach things, all very good speakers. So we have a wide range of speakers in the area. Also, I just want to mention, you know, thank you to the younger ones who are starting to add playing hymns for us, as well as special music. So we have special music people coming up to the ranks, serving. I don't want to just classify it as that we have younger ones helping out teenagers, helping out with webcasting. We thank you very much for that. Sitting up, doing food table. Really, really very positive example when the young people are helping out in different ways across the board. So appreciate all the work that's going down there in service. And but just glad we mentioned that. All right. Here we are, the maps. Now, really the point of the maps is just to show you how everybody lays out. So the star, if you can see the star, is where we meet. That's Maryville. And all the blue dots is where all the members live. So in Beloit, you can see we're pretty centralized. And you'll see that across all three congregations. We're fairly centralized to where everybody lives. And we meet in Beloit. So, sometimes this is helpful because sometimes you look and you get comments about moving halls, or sometimes, I'll just be open. When I first came here, I know, when I first started coming here as a pastor, it had been years earlier where we had met in Munster. So I inquired, and it didn't really work out for a number of reasons. But one thing I just did, which I'll show you in a moment at the end here, I looked at the map. I just looked at where everybody lives, and you can't get really more central than where we are today. So I'll show that to you in a minute. And that's Beloit there. This is Chicago. Again, we Hinsdale is where we meet, and it's very central to everybody that attends there. It's about as middle as you can get, and we have a few outliers. We have a few people that are actually sort of in Indiana area maybe, but they come to Chicago for different reasons. Every once in a while, I'll just bring this up, every once in a while it comes up to, should we buy a building? Should we buy a building? And this helps looking at this, and also helps know if you know Chicago real estate and pricing. If we're going to stay right in the middle there of where everybody lives, it's very hard to find a really, of course, we won't have to have a nice building. We're not going to be in an old rundown shack for church. We're not going to do that. So have something that's nice, that's suitable for church services that we can afford, we can do. And if you look at the map here, it would be a challenge, although, you know, we always think about it every so often, about a building. Does it make sense? Some church areas, based on the pricing of churches and things and buildings and where they attend, it can be a very economically positive thing to do that. So every once in a while we think about it. All right, let's go to Indiana. Somehow we got red dots for everybody here. I'm not sure if that doesn't mean anything in particular other than we just had red dots for this map. But you see the star, right, in Maryville. Again, we got some of the, people out in Michigan City, they have the port and people like that. We have a bit of a travel, but if you look at it, Maryville is pretty central, right? Pretty central to where everybody lives. It certainly helps me, when we combine on holy days with Chicago and we kind of move a little bit more towards the Illinois side, I can certainly appreciate that it impacts people that are in Michigan City and sort of out east in that area. But we do the best we can with all the information we have. All right. Let's keep on going here. I thought it might be nice to just put together a list of all the things that I would call under pastoral care. We're very blessed to have weekly Sabbath services in all the congregations. We do it every week. We have a weekly Bible study that on Wednesdays, as you know, I talk about it all the time. And if you don't, aren't able to come, I may start recording these in the future so those that can't come can watch it online, but I really encourage everybody to come online. It's a combination of the fact that you get to hear God's word midweek, you go over it. There's, as I mentioned, there's gems that come out of doing a verse by verse approach that we do in Chicago, Beloit, and North Louisiana, to our Bible studies. But also other people are on there, and they oftentimes add their own helpful comments. You get to see others. It's a form of fellowship as well. So I encourage you, if you can do that, to be on the study. We are blessed to have choirs in both Chicago and Northwest Indiana. Thank you very much. Teen studies. We have teen speech club going on this week, the Sabbath. plus activities, and we have kids club. Again, you saw in Chicago the high demographic of 39, 19 and under. So that kind of, you know, helps us determine what kind of things we're going to have. Let me keep going here. I got, we have Spokesman's Club going on, right now in Chicago, and we also have it going on again in this early summer for Northwest Indiana. A lot of good fruits from that. We have Bible journaling, as we have been going on today in Chicago. We had scripture memorization. This is Andre Stenhouse. She did that last year. If you're there, I know I got to get back with you. It's on my list. And if we can touch base, we'll get this going again in Chicago. You know, just you memorize a whole chapter, right? You memorize a whole chapter of the Bible. Very helpful. And this is all under the theme. Like, you know, the more we can study God's word, the more we grow, the more we continue to learn, it stabilizes the church. We grow. Right now we're in Spokesman's Club, and the focus is on Proverbs. Proverbs. And it was partly the goal is to do messages that are maybe presented to a younger audience that they can digest. But also a secondary thought was that all of us studying Proverbs, we can just continue to grow, right? And learn in wisdom. We ask for God's wisdom, but Proverbs is full of wisdom. Being a mature church, and I return to First Chronicles. There's a section there. I don't know if I remember 12:9, somewhere in there where it talks about the sons of Issachar, who knew what to do. They had understanding, knowing the signs of the times and knew what to do. They could understand what was going on and knew what to do. And I've used that example also in Deuteronomy about Moses picking men that had wisdom, understanding, and putting them in leadership roles. So all of us, if we're studying together, growing, we can understand the times, we know how to mature. Maturity is how we want to grow. We have spiritual maturity. All right, Marriage Enriched, we did that in Chicago and Northwest Indiana. We'll do it again. Some of these things, I don't have it here, but it's going to be like a calendar where we kind of do it for a couple of months of a calendar, and somebody, you know, we come back in the following year, do it again. We'll do that again this year, maybe in a little smaller way, or maybe more like 2 or 3 sessions, a touch-up. Every congregation has some form of card and phone outreach to those that are shut-ins. Remember, we have the pretty large number of shut-ins in every congregation. That is very helpful to everybody. We have very long-time members who aren't able to come, and they really appreciate cards and phone outreach type conversations. We have socials in Chicago and Northwest Indiana roughly about 2 to 3 times a year. We have some form of social, which is, you know, very helpful. And we have a church directory. That was one of my things, one of the objectives I had this last year. Thanks to the Baileys, we got a church directory, and many others helped out with that. So everybody should have a church directory. They can look and see each other. If you want to, you know, pray for one another, you can see their face, you can know their address, and you can send them cards on your own. But the church directory is very helpful. All right. Keep on moving here. All right, what are some of the things I have planned going forward? We just had this, actually, and it was really something from that kind of came from the mothers. It was something that was sort of a grassroots type of initiative where younger mothers got together, and I want to do this. I put down quarterly. I haven't talked to the people that really make this happen. But quarterly, possibly do this quarterly. We have a dinner, quarterly get together for the young mothers. Young mothers do such a great job. They help teach the children. And oftentimes, they've got a lot of stress and difficulties. And it's just helpful to have them together to encourage them to get together. And with some of the older, some of them are, you know, more experienced mothers. And just collaborate, encourage one another. Hey, you're doing the right thing. Or maybe even offer a suggestion, but really just for encouragement. We're going to do a parenting refresh, hopefully in the fall. Something I wanted to do last year, due to our schedules, we didn't quite get off the ground, but a parenting refresh. We have a lot of parents in the Chicago church that have got younger ones, and just do a refresh. We've done this over the years. We've had full-blown sessions of how to do parenting. I think we just need to do a refresh. I don't mean because we need to do one because anybody's doing a bad job. We have wonderful parents. I just mean it's, what I found is I did my first, went to my first parenting type of session with no kids, expecting to hopefully have kids one day. And then I went when I think Bill was a baby. And then I think we did it when he was a little bit older. But you remember that you basically remember the parts that apply to you at where the moment you're in. So it's, what I mean by a refresh is, you know, as you go forward, with the children, you kind of like, oh, what were they saying about teenagers again? Or what were they saying about like, you know, when you get into the preteens or things like that? It just helps. All right. Here's for Beloit. Beloit, you are not forgotten. I had thought about how to do something that would be helpful because I do care about the Beloit Church. We all, long-time members there, long-time. But it is mostly an older church, and I would like to have once a month senior lunch. I'll go up there, and I have some ideas. I got to talk to the bright people up there, but have a place where we can meet for lunch and once a month and just, you know, get together. So if that's possible, I want to do that. And one of the other things I want to do, I won't get into too much detail, is I want to have – we have one here, so – and we actually had one in Beloit, a YouTube channel where messages go and people can look at them. I want to do something building on that idea that's already being done and have one. I said Chicago, but really it would be a kind of a Chicagolandish or maybe all three YouTube's channel where I want to put out short 30 seconds to 3 minute messages on certain topics along with certain sermons or messages that go out there and use social media, to help, for those that are interested coming into church and being God's calling to be able to see some of the truth that we have or see the truth that we have on certain things. And then if they're interested, they can subscribe to it. I was very amazed that, because we do it here, some of the sermons that got put out, one of the sermons I had one almost 2,000 views. Another one had over, you know, you're up in 700 or 800. And it's very interesting what people are looking at. And I observed that, I look at it. And try to glean why are certain things more interesting to others. And I think we can do much more, to put God's word out there, to preach the word in a local sort of way. So if you're involved in social media and thoughts that may be coming your way, this is something I just want to do this year. All right. This is where I think I give, let me just do a wrap up here. And then I'll ask the camera to come back to me. If it didn't come back to me now, I think that'd be fine. And I'll give everybody an opportunity to take a breath as the camera comes over. So I'm hoping that was helpful. Some of the things that you saw, it's just a high level view of the congregations. But I want to just mention or reiterate, all three congregations are stable, have a depth of spiritual maturity, very much appreciated. So many of you serve in different ways. You know, there's sort of the visible ways some people serve, which is fine. And so many of you serve behind the scenes or do different things that, you know, as the Bible says, you know, you don't let your left hand know what your right hand do. You're just doing it. And it's very appreciated. Keep praying. I want to keep saying keep praying and studying and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Growth, right? Growth is key. When you're growing, right? If you look back in your times of your life, the times that we're generally the happiest or feel content is when we look back and see we're in a time of growth. So we never can stop growing. We've got to continue to grow and grow. And it's usually when we kind of stall or don't grow is when we begin to find ourselves in difficulties or challenges, but growing, continue to grow. And we receive God's Spirit and we are to grow and be more like God, in our thinking, our maturity, and our character. So, and as we know, as I've mentioned, or we read in 1 John or in Epistles of John, God is love. God is love. And we're developing the mind of Christ. All those things, part of being one with Christ and the Father, we're developing that maturity. And that is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior through the power of God's Spirit. So we continue to do that. Continue to keep doing, keep digging deeper, growing. So I hope, you know, we keep doing that. That's what we're going to keep doing as the congregations. ask that everybody do your part, keep praying, helping one another. We do have a common enemy who loves to create division, problems, upheaval, and those things tend not to happen to congregations that are growing and focused on God's word and living it. So I hope this overview is helpful in helping understand the congregations, all three. I thought I just mentioned that. And if it has prompted some thoughts in what you saw, and you have suggestions and ideas, please let me know. I may do a survey at some point, but I most welcome and appreciate, thoughts directly. I was looking at, maybe you looked at something today and something struck you that I haven't seen or somebody else hasn't seen, and we can do something, right? There's a lot of things we can do. And maybe that if you have suggestions or thoughts, please let me know. All right, for the time remaining, I would like to provide a guiding spiritual theme for all the congregations in 2024. And thank you, Mr. Long. He kind of set it up here. You'll see what I mean in a moment. His sermonette kind of fits in very well where I'm going. But the spiritual theme that I'd like everybody to sort of think about, I'm going to talk about the rest of the messages, live first and every day as citizens of heaven. Live first and every day as citizens of heaven. So let me share why I think this is an appropriate guiding spiritual theme for us in 2024. This year is going to be an election year in the U.S. And it's tempting, even compelling, to want to be involved in our political system. A party or leader may seem to represent a value that aligns with morals, or even godly values from your perspective. And don't assume everybody thinks the same way. You'd be surprised. That's why we have to be careful. Not everybody has the same political views, for different reasons. But we also naturally assign what we see, as the decline of our country to one political party to another, depending on how we view the world, and which is often what? Influenced by our backgrounds, our family experiences, our education, or even social media or news. All those things sort of influence how we see certain things and how we might align to certain social, political parties. I also think we are extremely proud of our national citizenship, whatever it may be. Most of us are probably U.S. citizens. My family, everyone in our family, are citizens of two countries. But for my USA citizenship, I have strong feelings about it. I love the 4th of July, right? I love the 4th of July, what it stands for, what it represents. When we have the Olympics, I love watching the United States of America receive gold medals with the national anthem playing. I just love that. And I still remember getting on the school bus the day the U.S. hockey team beat the Soviet Union in 1980 Winter Olympics. And everyone on the bus, right, this is our school bus, was full of excitement and pride in the way the United States, the underdog, the big underdog, beat the powerful Russian hockey team, the USSR hockey team. Right now, I attend swim meets fairly often to watch Bill swim. And they start each swim meet, and again, Mrs. Schmoka, she knows, she's got a granddaughter who swims. But they start each swim meet with a national anthem. And it's not unusual to have at times a little tear in my eye as they play the national anthem. Kind of is meaningful. And I also have Australian citizenship, and there's strong feelings with that as well. In the Olympics, Summer Olympics, the swimming competitions, right? It can be very difficult, right? When Australians are swimming against the Americans in the pool. Because in swimming, those are the two powerhouses, generally speaking. The United States is generally just the powerhouse with Australia right there. And the two dominant countries, and they're swimming. And it brings out strong emotion. Well, who do I want to win, right? Who do I root for? And maybe you're from your citizenship's from another country and you have the same feelings. So these are all strong emotions and feelings. But however, these all, strong emotions, feelings we have. However, as we go into the United States election year, let's first prioritize, above all else, live first and every day as citizens of heaven. Considering what we're going to see this election cycle and how it's gone in recent history, it's going to be very vicious. It's going to be very ugly. Some of the issues can be very emotional and personally important to us, and we can be pulled into debates and emotions of what's being discussed and lose sight of who we are first and foremost, having our citizenship in heaven, and that we pray every day, or that we should pray every day, first and foremost, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Let's turn to Philippians, where Paul states this to the church in Philippi. Philippians 3:20. And here Paul writes, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So the Apostle Paul only expressed this in this certain way, in this particular way, he said it to the Philippians. And there's a good reason for that. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony, and many of the inhabitants were army veterans, which for many included having Roman citizenship rights. And we know being a Roman citizen at this time gave Paul, Paul was a Roman citizen. And that gave him so many more privileges and rights that others did not have when they were traveling through the Roman Empire. And this made the city of Philippi somewhat unique in that the inhabitants had ties and citizenship to Rome. Many Italian settlers and legions swelled the ranks of the citizens and made Philippi a vibrant city. The city reached a status called Ius Italicum, which allowed those in Philippi to have the same status as Italian cities. So they had special rights. Italian cities, this was a big deal. Don't overlook how important it was to have that kind of special status. Ius Italicum. As a Roman colony, citizens of Philippi could purchase, own, and transfer a property and had the privilege of filing civil lawsuits in Roman courts. It would have been natural for the church of Philippi to have strong feelings and emotions about their status and citizenship in the Roman Empire, something that they likely were proud of and could even be a badge of honor. Certainly could have had that. And they may, more than any other congregation, could have got pulled into the politics and issues of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire had constant politics, right? If you know anything about Roman history, that, between the Senate and the Emperor and all the many subsets of politics that went throughout there and the laws and the things that went through the Roman Empire. A lot of politics. Paul is reminding them and us that there and us, our citizenship is in heaven. Paul also was a Roman citizen and understood where his complete allegiance was to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of God. His thoughts, his mind, his heart, who he was to first and foremost was a citizen of heaven. And we'll see this expressed by Paul later on. He's writing to the Philippians to live that way first and foremost as well. The citizenship that God calls us to takes precedence over whatever other status they may have had in the Roman Empire. You're a citizen of heaven. Let me just read Barclay's to you on the commentary. It states it very well just to kind of reemphasize what we just said. Barclay says, "Here was a picture the Philippians could understand when Paul said that. Be first, be a citizen, or our citizenship is of heaven." Here's this picture that the Philippians could understand. Philippi was a Roman colony. Here and there at strategic military centers, the Romans established their colonies. In such places, the citizens were mostly soldiers who had served their time 21 years and who had been awarded with full citizenship. The great characteristic of these colonies was that they, wherever they were, remained fragments of Rome. Roman style clothes were worn, Roman magistrates governed, Latin was spoken, Roman justice was administered, Roman morals were observed. Even in the most remote regions, they remained unshakably Roman. Paul says to the Philippians, just as the Roman colonists never forget they belong to Rome, you must never forget that you are citizens of heaven and your conduct must match your citizenship. And that's the key point right there. The conduct must match your citizenship. So when we follow the guidelines of the model prayer in our own prayers, which says, your kingdom come, and that's how Jesus Christ said, begin our prayers as a framework, as a thought. That's what we pray. Our kingdoms come, your kingdom come. We are reflecting what should be a statement, an acknowledgement of where our citizenship is while being strangers and pilgrims on earth. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 13, the faith chapter, and read this verse as it aligns with verse and every day living as a citizen of heaven. This is the faith chapter. The faith chapter. A powerful chapter on those God is not ashamed to be called their God. Very important statement. Those God is not ashamed to be called their God. And that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Who are those folks? And it's there for our encouragement to be like them, to have the same faith. Let's go down to Hebrews 11, verse 13. I'll just read through each verse one by one. Let me read in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Have you received the promises, seen them afar off? Are you assured of them? Are you? We should ask ourselves that. Another way of saying it is, what is more real to you? You know, these flowers here, our car outside, our home, our mortgage, our job, or the promises that God puts there for us. A good study is to review the promises of God as they relate to the coming kingdom of God. Let's read a favorite. I have a lot of favorites. Here's one, a memory verse, hopefully for some of you. 1 Corinthians 2:9, and I'll read this to you. You can write it down, the verse, and look it up later, but you will know them. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But everyone in Hebrews 11, they loved God. They believed, they had faith, and they loved God. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Spirit researches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the things that God has prepared for those who love him, that's what the people in Hebrews 11 understood. There's things that God promised, and they were more real to them than whatever is going on around them at the time. Those in the faith chapter understood and believed the promises of God. Let's read another favorite and inspiring promise to those who are also called the children of God. 1 John 3:2. I love this one. It gets read a lot, and it should be, because it's a powerful scripture. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, talking about Jesus Christ, when he comes back, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. All right, so again, powerful promises. Powerful promises. Let's read another inspiring promise as presented to Paul, sorry, by Paul to Timothy. And to encourage him to look past the difficult times that he was experiencing. Timothy was going through some times the things around them seemed to be kind of coming apart. Paul needed to encourage them. Let's see what he writes in 2 Timothy 1:8, and we'll read down to verse 12. These are all promises. These are all God's assurance that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Because Paul at this time was a prisoner of Rome, and his days were not long on this earth. He knew it. Paul knew it. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We didn't do anything to earn it, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, right? He's suffering, but nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. The same day we read about 1 John 3. Right? When the children of God will see him as he is. The promises. Paul believed them. Abraham believed them. Moses believed them. And all those in Hebrews 11, they believed the promises. They were citizens of a future coming kingdom of God. Let's keep reading in Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, having received the promises, but having seen them far off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So embracing these promises, they confessed, they acknowledged that they were not citizens of this world, or any political system of this world, or any kingdom of this world, but strangers and pilgrims. They, and you and I are part of something much, much, much better. We have to be like Abraham and the others. Live as pilgrims and strangers. Not a permanent homeland, not really citizens of this world, but looking forward. And this can be hard sometimes because it means we have to live in a world that is really a godly environment. And we have to make hard decisions, right? We have to make hard decisions. And these hard decisions that we have to make sometimes makes us want to change the system. Do we homeschool or not homeschool? You have to make those decisions as parents because of what's going on. Do we try to change the system? Well, I'll say this. Paul gives us a sort of a guiding light on this. He said, as you have opportunity, and if you're a servant, which really meant a slave, make yourself free. As you have opportunity. If you have opportunity to change something that should be changed, go ahead. But we really aren't going to change the system. And we get pulled into like, well, we can just get this person in. We can get this person in. We rally around, party. But we have to make these decisions, homeschool or no homeschool, because what's going on? Do we live here, where it's a little bit more conservative, if that's what we're looking for, or in another place? Do we take this job or a different job? The list goes on and on. But God helps us with these decisions, right? We have to make these decisions in a system that is not in any is in favor of us, right? But God's in favor of us. God can work things out, and he helps us with these decisions. Abraham was a stranger and a pilgrim in the land he one day was told would be his. He had to make hard decisions to make it, and it wasn't perfect as he looked forward to the promises. Abraham never stopped looking to the promises. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. So declaring and stating that although living in the world as pilgrims and strangers, they were seeking a homeland, an eternal citizenship that was more real to them than whatever earthly citizenship they could be part of. Moses had what you might say dual citizenships. One that would provide a very nice life. He chose it. But one that would choose another one that would be eternal life. Let's read that in Hebrews 11. Let's drop down if you're there, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that would have had a lot of privileges and a lot of positive things with it. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So he had a choice, and in so many ways, we have a choice. What is more real? What was more real to Moses? Well, he made his decision. What was more real? What was eternal? What was more real? And what was temporary? He knew the difference. His citizenship was with God. His citizenship was with God. He had an eternal mindset, not a temporary mindset. Abraham could have returned to his homeland, but he didn't. The promises of God were more real to him than the sophistication of the society he left. He came out of an area that's probably the most, there's Egypt, but there's also the Babylonian area, the Chaldean area where he was from, that had a lot going on at that time. But Abraham embraced the promises and did not return to his homeland. Verse 16, let's keep going, Hebrews 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Those of faith who embrace the promises, those who first embrace every day, they wake up and embrace first the citizenship in heaven, do desire what is to come. And God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Why? Maybe you thought about that, you know, if you called, let's say you're somebody who says, that's my God. And God goes, I wish he wouldn't say that. that's what's being said there. God is not ashamed to be called their God. Because why? Why? Because they lived daily in a way that showed they understood their citizenship was in heaven. They lived daily a way to show that they believed God. They lived by a way that showed who their God was. They represented their way of living was godly. Now, how do we live that way each day? How do we live that way each day? Like Abraham, we put God first in our lives and we follow God in faith and obey God in faith. How does God describe Abraham? Let's turn to Genesis and see how God described Abraham in a conversation to his son, Isaac. Abraham was the father, Isaac was the son. And in Genesis 26:1, and here we see that God is going to reiterate the promises to Isaac. But let's see what he says. Genesis 26, verse 1, these five verses here. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gezer. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform an oath, which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Why did God say that to Isaac? Why? I mean, that's an amazing statement God's making to Isaac. And there's a lot there. We can spend a lot of time on what that means. Trust me. But let's go on verse 5. because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Simply, Abraham believed God and followed God. It's the same for us. Believing God is having faith and trusting Him. Believing what He says and doing it. That is faith. That is having an eternal mindset. That is being a citizen of the soon coming kingdom of God and not a citizen of this world. It takes faith, which means believing. Believing. Hebrews 11:6. Another great scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Powerful scripture right there. Do we believe that statement? Abraham and those in chapter 11 of Hebrews did. This describes having our citizenship in heaven, believing that He is, and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said it this way, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Jesus came bringing the teaching from the Father. He said that several times. He brought what the Father gave Him, and He taught it faithfully. And those who are citizens, have their citizenship in heaven, live each day by those teachings, by those words. In Beloit in Northwest Indiana, in recent sermons, we surveyed the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught how those who have their citizenship in heaven conduct themselves. It begins with the Beatitudes. Beatitudes. And then He goes on to how to apply the spiritual intent of God's law in our lives. And at the end of the sermon, Jesus expresses that those who hear the teachings and do the teachings of Jesus are likened to one building on the rock. These are those God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. A promise to you. First and foremost, as we look forward in this year that we live, 2024, live each day that shows our citizenship is in heaven. Let's read Philippians 3:20 again as we end up here. Verse 21, we'll read a little bit more here. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. So Paul's telling them. Remember that Roman citizenship. You know, Roman citizenship was pretty good. You know, he's telling them, forget that. Put that aside. You know, that's temporary thinking. Think eternal. Think long term. Think kingdom of God. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So, brethren, let's go forward together in 2024 and live each day grounded in the promises of God, believing the promises of God, living each day first and foremost as citizens in heaven as we wait patiently for our Lord and Savior.